Good morning.
Good morning. Shall we have a beginning?
I thought everybody would sleep in this morning because, you know, we've been... You're asleep.
Yeah. And toothpicks.
All righty then. So are we. So, yeah, okay. We have a whip back there.
I'll just tell you to get a room. So, okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Father, thank you so much for these last days together. With your presence here, Lord, I pray that this little bit of time that we have with these people, these brothers and sisters, these husbands and wives, that you would draw us closer to you and ultimately to one another. Father, I pray that you'd help Brenda and I to get out of the way and speak what you once said to each couple so that when they walk out the door, they've got one thing that you wanted to deposit into their hearts and in their minds. So with that, Lord Jesus, we give you all thanks and glory. Amen. 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 So who are we? Where are we from? I think we got the fact across Friday night when we were just literally getting here and walking on stage that we're from the Northwest. It did not rain, so I'm really happy about that and such. But we live in a little town called Vancouver, Washington, which is kind of seated next to Portland, Oregon. And as our mayor refers to, it is America's Vancouver. So when times when we talk about being from Vancouver, people go, oh, you're from BC, so you're Canadian. It's like, no, we're from the original Vancouver. That usually really ticks off the Canadians.
He always says that in the seminars we do, and then wouldn't you know it, there's a Canadian sitting in the back, and he's like, I'm from Vancouver. It's like, oh.
Yeah, so I kind of, anyhow.
You apologize?
I apologize. So greetings from the Church of Vancouver and our little community called Battleground, Washington. We're Battleground. Really, it was a battle that was going to take place between the indigenous Native Indians in that area way back when and the cavalry that was stationed at Fort Vancouver. And so Captain Strong and Chief Umtuch actually struck a peace accord before the battle ever took place, but the city and the community that we're in, the name became stuck. And so therefore... We've come with a word of peace, but we're also here to battle for your heart. Did you hear that? They went, ooh, that was cool. Yeah. Okay, we're done.
Before we get into this, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a background.
Who are we?
We are here to fight for your marriage because we were in a fight and we lost. And so... That's why we have such a passion for marriage, but then we've won in the end. So what's your story?
My story was I was born a very young child. So fast forward. Let's see, how much do we want to go in here? You go first. I'll follow you.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to lay it out. So born and raised in California. I'm back home. Woohoo, Bay Area. We were in a remarriage. And my first marriage was 19 years. And I was part of a church called Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto, California. No. Okay, never mind. And honestly, you guys, I've always had a passion for marriage and always wanted to encourage marriage. And I never thought in a million years that I would be on this side of the aisle of speaking of marriage because I was in the church. Love Jesus, doing all the right things, totally put my husband first, my kids, and then God. So I had that a little mixed up. And I'll be honest with you, I was one of those, be nice here. I was very judgmental when I saw blended families and remarried couples. It's like, what's their problem? How come they're all screwed up? Because I had my act together. So I thought.
You were such a poser.
I was being a poser, yeah. So, so what I call the great train wreck happened after 19 years of marriage. My boys were, my three boys and I, we were at Medford, Oregon, moved up to Vancouver, Washington. And, so do you want to take it from
there? We eventually met, but Brenda's claim to fame was that she was a professional ice skater with Ice Capades. And she was also one of the cast members with Dorothy Hamill on Nutcracker on Ice years ago.
Long time ago.
So I actually married a showgirl.
But I married the Bible guy because he went to Bible school. So
oh, yeah.
The showgirl.
I'm such a bore. Anyway. So yeah, we came into this with history. My first marriage was 24 years. I had four children, a mortgage, a job. You know, went to Bible school, was an associate pastor, and so forth. And just, you know, things took place that was like, what's going on? And it was a jolt. It really was. Had been in marriage ministry. Had worked with youth and the whole thing. So here we are. You know, we've been married now almost 15 years. We do a little thing called remarried math, which is kind of a funny thing, because we, you know, we're not, you know, my oldest is 37 and the youngest is 26. We have seven children between the two of us, which we enduringly refer to as those people. And so those people...
when are those people coming back?
When are they leaving?
When are they leaving?
Anyhow,
what are they doing?
Anyhow, it's the perspective of remarried math real quickly is that you take the number of children you have together, seven, and 14, so 7 times 14, we've been married 98 years. So.
To the fifth power, because we have 5 grandbabies and 1 more on the way. So
we have a passion for marriage.
Because we don't want anybody to go through the train wreck we did. Because when you divorce, it doesn't just affect the couple. There's a ripple effect that goes on and on. And we've learned so much about marriage education, about ourselves, on so many different levels. And we just want to be able to encourage you guys. And like I said, you know, and the get-go Friday night, I just admire and respect each and every one of you for being here to invest in your marriage, because marriage in our society is really under attack. And especially if you're in a second marriage, that's where redemption can happen. And we're living proof of that.
Why don't you show them a picture of the family?
That the Lord has brought, made beauty out of ashes. So here's our those people.
Yeah. That picture was taken in November of 2014, and since then we've had some additions. So there's a few folks up there that aren't up there yet. Yeah. So the reason why we came up with the title, What's, you know, Your Marriage, What's in Your Rearview Mirror, is basically because in our rearview mirror, there were, you know, train wrecks, there were, you know, heartaches, there was pain, there was sorrow, you know, but honestly, in 24 years and in 19, there were some really good years. There were some really good years. Those were some of the fondest memories I have of my children and growing up and trips and vacations. And that all came to, you know, a perspective of, whoa, what happened back there? And what am I going to do with all of those particular things that actually had an impact upon my heart, but also upon the life that I live, my views, and so forth. So in those things that are in my rearview mirror, there may be some things in your rearview mirror as well. There are happy times. Mm-hmm. There are sorrows, there are tragedies, there is grief, but there's also some joy, mm-hmm. you know, and as joy is lifted up, then we have things to look forward to, even though hopefully we've learned from the pain.
Hopefully. there's, you know, many couples in this room here, and through this whole weekend, when you came to this weekend, we don't know where everybody's at. The Lord does. But on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, there may be some people that it might be, okay, our marriage, if I were to be really honest, we're probably at a 1 or a 2. And there may be some people that, you know, we're in a good season right now. It could be maybe a 7, 8, something like that. I guess my prayer and our prayer for you guys, and we've had our prayer team praying for you for the last several weeks, is that you can walk away from this weekend taking away one nugget from anything that's been said through any of the speakers. I mean, Kurt and Rhonda have just done, haven't they done an incredible job? Oh my gosh. So to take away one nugget, because you've gotten a lot of information, but also if you're at a 2 or 3, maybe you've moved up to maybe a 4. That's a win. So I just hopefully encourage you in that. So
we have a nugget for you. Was really cool Friday night. We were listening to Kurt and Rhonda talk, and one of the slides they brought up toward the end of Friday evening was this picture of a broken down wall. Do you remember seeing that video? It's like blazed in your memory, right? What we'd like to do is talk to you about a wall as well. And the premises of the wall is found in the book of Nehemiah. I'm used to carrying a Bible that opens up, so pardon my technology. I have to push in your code first.
I know. You got to go to the Bible.
That's got your. I got your number.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, pink. I'm in touch with my touch with my masculinity.
He's securing his masculinity with
this. Secure.
No, it's really rose gold. It's not pink, but okay.
So to the point of the word.
Oh yeah.
Nehemiah 4. And I'm just going to read this to you, starting in verse 2, and then we'll drop down. There's a couple of key words that I will emphasize. And he said, in the presence of his brothers in the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? They're talking about the wall. Will they sacrifice? Will they finish it up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of heaps of rubbish? And the burned ones at that, Tobiah the Amorite was beside him and said, yes, what are they building? If a fox were to go up on it, the wall would tip over. Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plunder in the land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. In the Amplified, it says, and they gave them a heart to work. So we want to unveil this concept of the wall. The wall in and of itself, as we know, can become between us. So,
not yet. So we developed this wall to represent Nehemiah, and let's show the wall.
Show the wall. So as we were thinking about the rubbish, the broken, the busted, the bruised, Brenda told me about this wall that one of my stepsons had under his bed. And if you were to get close to this wall, you'd see that there's things that are kind of scuffed up. And, you know, if we take some of the labels off, there's holes in the wall. It's broken. It's busted. It's bruised. It's splintered. And in our own lives, we felt like that was what we had to rebuild our lives. Do you have any of those broken, bruised places in your heart? In your marriage, God can use even the broken, busted, splintered things of our lives to be a wall to protect us. Now?
So walls come between us,
don't they? So instead of a wall protecting us, which was what the wall was built for back in those days, and even now you're supposed to have a wall to protect you, but typically now walls tend to be like, oh, okay, so your mom's coming over again. When were you going to tell me this? I had plans.
Well, I would have if you were here on time, but you were out. I don't know what the heck you were doing. You were supposed to be here an hour ago.
Oh, okay.
It's like you don't even hear me when I say I need you here at this certain time.
Okay. Okay, really?
Yeah.
Where's the wall? Where's the wall? Anybody relate to those kind of relationship conversations?
Now, if you're in a blended family, it would go like this. When is your ex going to come and pick up the kids? She's always late.
I don't even go with her. Your ex is always late with alimony. And
I think my ex should just pay your ex and get us out of the middle.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
And when is your kid going to start showing me some respect? I mean, it's always like, you're not my mom. And I just, you know, can you talk to them at least?
I try to talk to them, honey, but they just don't get it. I mean, they're back and forth between their moms and here and... Can't you understand what's going on for them? Where's the wall? The wall we'd like to reframe for you. Somewhere along the line, somebody has to go, hey, we're arguing again about what?
Those people?
Stuff, money, so forth. Can we stop and get behind the wall? Because this wall is built to protect us, not to divide us. If you'll notice in the wall, we have different words, but there's a really crucial word on the smaller bricks, which is standing for safety. These bricks don't hold together without what? Mortar, the cement, and that safety is what holds us together. Those connections, those abilities to be safe with you.
Kurt and Ron, am I a safe place for you to share
place?
Your heart?
Right, because I think in some places in my former marriage and in circumstances sometimes like, I'm not so sure I'm safe with you because if I give you this vital information, you can actually use it against me. So I'm kind of like, are you safe? Can I trust you? Can I really be honest?
Especially if in the past, in looking in your rearview mirror, you guys have not been safe with each other. And I know as a wife, I want your heart and I want to know what you're thinking, how you're doing so that I can have your back and you can have my back. That makes sense? So, and if you haven't been working in that kind of genre, it's not like you can just switch a button. It's like, okay, I'm going to trust you now and you're safe. You know, it's going to take time to trust each other again. Sometimes.
So as you notice, the foundation is built on Christ and commitment.
Now this wall represents, I really don't want these guys to have a good marriage, do you?
Excuse me?
I really don't want them to have a good marriage.
Whoa, you didn't have to explain that. I thought that's why we were here this weekend, was to have a good marriage.
No, because I think we both thought we had good marriages, but now we decided that we want a great marriage. So this wall represents the great marriage to us. And in the seminars that we do, then we have more time, we would have the couples create their own wall and make up their own words in their wall. The words represent what is a great marriage. So our words are great, respect, love, trust, Christ, commitment, honesty, intimacy, and we know that this is what represents the Great Wall, and we're behind it. This is protecting us from those people,
finances,
from the in-laws, from the ex-laws, health. What can come against us to try to separate us? Isn't that just like the enemy of our soul to want to kind of come in, find out where that. One
weaknesses.
Part of safety, yeah, that weakness that he can just start chipping away. It's like
because what happens to bricks when the mortar begins to get brittle? It falls apart. And I think I got to come back to safety, Brent, because I mean in my first relationship, I didn't feel safe, and it took time for me to open up to you and become vulnerable and be able to really be honest. Because our definition of honest kind of pairs together a little bit with what Kurt and Rhonda have been talking about. But our definition of honesty is basically emotional nudity. I'm going to be completely open, but that doesn't happen unless there's trust. And trust means to us, and honestly, I can say I love you, but sometimes really for us, I can say I trust you means actually more. Because I know that you're not going to run out on me. You're not going to go anywhere. Even when I screw up, because I screw up.
I will too.
Yeah, but that aspect of being able to be safe just holds the bricks together so that when the stuff happens, because stuff happens, we can, okay, let's get behind our wall. That makes sense to y'all? Different reframe of how a wall works rather than it being between us, because I want to be closer together.
Yeah.
Let's go behind the wall for other stuff. Yeah, so we'll be back in a while.
Awesome. Also, in our day and age, kind of a little sidebar, this can also represent a great family. What and have a fun time with your kids, pizza and soda one night. What does a great family look like to you? What words come to mind, you guys? And then to realize that we need to get behind our wall as a family to protect us from life out there, to give those kids another safe place.
And again, in a step family, just to speak to that for a moment, those kids basically have had everything turned upside down on its head. So the ability to say, hey, once we know this is strong, then, hey, let's grab those kiddos and get them behind the wall as well, because they're going to and from sometimes different culture. And when I mean different culture, our kiddos did transverse between a loving interaction around Christ and church, and then when they went to their biological parents, it was like a different world for them. And when they came home to see us, you could just feel the sludge, which was really difficult. And we did the very best we could to get them behind the wall to protect them and, from there. But that aspect of safety. So let's, anything else
you want to say? The next thing there? That Nehemiah says is about this little guy.
Yeah, when we read that part of the portion about the fox, look at this thing. He's devious. Look at his eyes like, man, I am going to take you out. He's not that big of an animal. So really, he could run over the top of our little wall. If the mortar is not strong and sturdy, he could knock our wall over, and we are now exposed. This animal's not that big. He's not a rhinoceros. It isn't really the big things. It's the little things that can make a marriage.
And it's the little things that can destroy a marriage. It's, yeah, it's just in the simple stuff. Sometimes we make it way too harder. And sometimes we just need to do something that this will just totally blow your mind. Sometimes we just need to be nice to each other. Sometimes we just need to give each other a cup of water, or just to say good morning without any expectations, because it's not about me, it's about us, and we'll get to that.
Go to the fill-ins.
What about our downed wall?
Oh, there's the downed wall.
Yeah.
Well, you can say that is particularly the mortar has really crumbled, and they've got holes. Yeah. They've got holes.
So we are going to, you have your handout here. I like to be able to have you guys follow along. Chuck, I wonder if we could hand out an extra, since we might have extra handouts. Does anybody want it, their own handout? They don't want to share? That doesn't sound good, because we all want to share.
Raise your hand if you don't
want to
share.
If you don't want to share, maybe you should go to a marriage retreat, huh? Yeah.
Well, because I know, like, Gil writes 10 times more notes than I do on.
Be nice.
And I don't like you to mess up my paper yet. Okay, so let's go to our first fill-in here. I want to make sure I'm out of the way here so you can see. Okay, when I am protecting me from you, there can't be an us. What does that mean?
Well, Kurt and Rhonda made that point last night about the us. There's an us. It's not just you and me. There's an us. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Psychological term for that is basically an inner subjectivity. There's actually a personality. You have your personality, I have mine, but this marriage has a personality, just like every one of your marriages has its own personality. And what you bring to it is what that us has. But if I'm too busy taking care of me, being on this side of the wall, I don't get the privilege of ever getting to know this strength of us.
And that's what I've really found. Gil just graduated with his master's in counseling Thursday. Give it up. And I just finished up my life coaching stuff. But we've been doing so much work with couples, and I'm finding more and more that people are getting so consumed with protecting themselves and thinking about their hurt that they can't even lift their eyes enough to say, how is this affecting the marriage? You know, I love you. I married you because you're my friend. And what am I doing to support you and love you? And I think we're guilty of falling into that when we're hurting or tired or whatever. It's like we don't serve each other well, right?
Right.
So what about the next fill in here? The strength of the couple is directly related to the level of their vulnerability.
Ooh.
Ooh, I don't like that V word.
Vulnerability? We're going to talk about that? Ooh. What is vulnerability? And it's directly, the strength of our marriage is directly related to that? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Well, what does vulnerability mean? You need to maybe define that.
Vulnerability isn't what you think it is. When you go to the Latin and you translate vulnerability, the word is courage. To be vulnerable takes courage. To be honest takes courage. To trust takes courage, especially if the wall is not in that great a shape. But to get it into shape requires steps of vulnerability. This isn't in the notes, but I'm going to give it to you anyhow. And if you want to write it down, it'd be a good idea. Courage grows strength from a wound. Strength grows courage from a wound. How is that possible? Because the enemy of your soul knows that at that place of your strongest assets, characteristics, if he can wound you there, he can take you out of the battle. And if he takes you out of the battle, we all lose because we need you. I need you. We need one another. And in that place of woundedness actually is possibly our greatest strength, because when we come to that place of the biblical concept, when are we strongest? You go into the Corinthians, it talks about my strength actually comes from a position of weakness, of woundedness. Where did the strength of the cross and salvation come from? The Old Testament talks, I'm healed by his bruises and his wounds. That's where the strength is at. It's not something to be hidden and pushed away, nor is it to be something to become gloating in, but it's that perspective of saying that is where God can bring strength, is from that wound. But I have to be vulnerable enough to be here. And don't get me wrong, trust but verify, because the safety issue's going on. See how this is kind of tying together? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm blabbing.
No, and I think it's so counterintuitive. Because we want to protect our wounds. But when I expose my wounds to you, you can help bring healing to that, because I trust you. But yes, it's all connected here.
Is that it? So here's the byline.
No, we got to go back.
I'm so excited to get on.
I already said it.
More fill-ins, okay.
But we don't want a good marriage. We want a...
Great.
There we go. Because, now do we get to do it?
Okay.
Ready? Because if you ain't got the marriage...
You ain't got nothing.
Say it together. If you ain't got the marriage, you ain't got nothing.
That's right.
Where are we on these notes?
I want to talk about... we talked about there's three people in a marriage, right? There's you and me, and then there's the marriage. So I got to give credit to this couple we were working with, because this is brilliant, because... We didn't think of it, but we're talking about this concept of three people in the marriage, and your marriage is out here. And I said, you know, if you were to name that, your marriage, what would you name it? And they said, Fred. Laughter is really good,
Very important.
So as we worked with this couple and other couples, we'd say, so how's Fred doing?
Ooh, man.
Ugh.
Yeah, some responses.
Because when Fred is doing well...
You're rocking it.
You're doing well. But if Fred is like, oh, Fred's on life support right now. Okay.
Give him some air.
What does Fred need? And it's, I don't know, this just blows my mind that I have found that the more I die to Fred, okay, to give Fred what Fred needs, I get my needs met. I can't explain it, but this is our marriage, is that the more we die to each other, to die to the marriage, we end up getting what we want or what we need.
Hey, we could say that that's resurrection. I just made that up.
I think that's been used before. Somewhere.
Oh, okay.
But does that make sense if you think, you know, okay, I'm really ticked off at my husband right now. This is how I'm feeling. I really wanted to just let him have it. Okay, I can do that, right? That's a choice. But how is that going to affect Fred? So it's like, okay, I want to share how I'm feeling, so maybe it's my delivery. Maybe I need to soften it a little bit so that Fred, you know, that I'm heard, because that's important, and that you're heard,
right.
But that we do it in a respectful way and that we talk from our heart, not from our head.
Ooh.
It's easy. We could talk head stuff all day, but what's going on in our anger, what's going on in our heart?
I love it when you look at me like that, like I'm supposed to say something to you.
No.
It's like, I'm trying to follow where you're going, but you know, the Lord's speaking through you, so I'm just going to let you go.
Well, I thought you were thinking something else.
I was.
Twinkling.
Yeah. We're done. Let's go.
Okay.
We'll see you after
next,
lunch.
Next, focus.
Fred's great right now.
Obviously, you can name Fred somebody else, but, you know, especially in the heat of the moment and we're just at each other, if somebody takes the lead, doesn't even matter who, and says, okay, Fred's going down, you know. Somebody said, yeah, we're doing an RDS right now, RDS, relational downward spiral. It's like, we're going down. Okay.
No RDS.
Take a step back.
Pull back.
What can we do? Yeah, to help each other. Because it's the idea that Fred out here is the team, right? And I love it when Kurt and Rhonda last night made a reference to that, and taking it from the me to the we. Because when the we is winning, the me is winning. Once again, it kind of sounds counterintuitive. And what kind of things do we have, rituals and stuff for our marriage that, you know, fuel it?
Feed that?
They give it breath.
Well, I think one of the rituals that we have is we pray together. I'm not going to ask you if you pray with your spouse. But if you aren't, I will tell you something very important. Ladies, close your ears for a moment. Guys, don't be afraid, because prayer actually improves your sex life. So anyway.
So if you come to our house and you've been over for a couple hours and we say,
we need to go and pray, it means you need to leave.
Yeah, you need to leave.
So.
Respectfully.
Respectfully. So marriage, it is a team effort. Marriage is a team effort. We either win as a team or we lose as a team. There is no tie. We are a team.
And especially if those people, and I don't care how old those people that you have are, they're watching you. And they're seeing that the marriage you have is the way marriage is supposed to be. So my hard question, and you don't need to answer this, but would you want your kids to have the marriage you have? And if you don't, then coming to weekends like this are incredible. You're investing in yourself.
Ooh, sorry. Okay. We're changing gears.
Yeah, I can't keep up with you.
Because we have something else. Yeah, I'm looking at our time, so I want to make sure we get these points in, because this is really important. Yeah, usually I'm the one that rambles. I didn't mean to. Fred's got tire tracks. Okay, I got to switch gears here.
Maybe you guys should pray together.
Yes. So Brenda's got this basket in her hand, and that basket represents what, Bren? You need that.
This basket represents my well-being, how I'm doing today. Right now it's pretty good. Don't have a lot of icky stuff going on, feeling pretty light.
Until I come along and basically make some off-the-cuff remark. There you go, spending money again. We don't have. Would you turn off your phone? I never get a word in with you. You feel so distant, I don't even know who you are. How's that basket now?
It's pretty heavy and uncomfortable.
What I just did to my spouse was basically say, you're really not worth my time. I don't feel connected. And money is really kind of an issue between you and me. And I didn't do it right, because
it didn't break. That's a
Now I'm dealing with a broken heart. Red died, and I'm responsible. Yeah, that basket's also off balance. There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, that basically says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And I would like to change that word anger. But a harsh word stirs up and causes hurt. Anger is how we respond. Anger is a secondary emotion. It's out here because you hurt me. And so if you're angry at one another because of harsh words, ask yourself, what hurt? Because anger is really not the issue. It's your heart. And then at that point in time, choose to get behind your wall because you need to protect yourself. Those soft words are really, really important. And the thing that could be the softest thing in those moments is say, sweetheart, let's get behind our wall. We need to repair a broken spot. Moving on into the New Testament in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 2 through 13, it says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. But then it moves on later into the chapter, which I find is really very interesting because Paul kind of almost sets this up. And he goes, and beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, harmony. Catch the word bond. Are you safe? And then it says this. Whoops, too far. Wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. I find it interesting that it is literally just a couple verses later, after this gentleness and kindness and unity and harmony, that he addresses husbands and wives. This isn't supposed to be a battle between one another.
You're not the enemy.
You're not the enemy. We're fighting not so much for Fred, but that Fred is healthy so that we can be a safe place for our children and for the community and the people that are observing our marriages in a world that is looking for, I want that. How did you get there? Because of the love of Jesus in my heart, as well as I think you are just a knockout, drop-dead, beautiful woman that God has blessed me with. Plus, I know you love Jesus too.
Plus, you're pretty hot, too. We have to go pray. Focus.
So in those circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, when we take this mentality of you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that, that doesn't really fit. It's the perspective of how am I going to be humble? How am I going to be meek? How am I going to surrender? Here's another concept that's not even talked about. It is a concept of what is referred to as aggressive surrender. Those two words don't go together, aggressive and surrender. Think about it. Jesus came and he sought the cross. He aggressively sought Calvary for us. That was not something he reluctantly put off. Oh, Lord, if there's any way. But if you study the scripture, he came to fulfill that. And surrender as we should surrender to one another. It's not you do it and then I will. It's a mutual thing. And based upon the gospel, that's what makes this possible.
So looking at this scripture out of Colossians, and if we turn the page and we are submitting to each other mm-hmm. and speaking, you know, kind words and stuff, what is that going to do to Fred?
Happy Fred.
I like that. Happy Fred. Yeah. It's just a byproduct. But sometimes we have to put our pride aside for the sake of the marriage, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. For the sake of Fred.
So let's talk about what does it really mean to love?
Yeah, because we can love each other. And we can still love Jesus, and we can mark off all the boxes each week and go to Wednesday night Bible study and sing in the choir and do our tithe and offering and come home and kick the dog. I love the church, but I really have a problem when you slap a Jesus label on your marriage, because are we really living out? I'm on my soapbox, I know, but we have friends that don't know the Lord that have better marriages than a lot of Christian people that we know, because they're doing the right thing. Yes, they need Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. But they're giving each other that cold cup of water this way instead of this way. The difference, right? Right? Even though I feel like going like this, it's like, okay, Fred needs this right now. Fred doesn't need to be drowned and... Yeah.
So how do we love one another? I mean, how many... poems and songs have been written about love. So this is a really quick reminder of what love really is and how it's practiced. So get your pen out. Here's another little tool. L in love stands for, real simply, listen.
What?
Listen. Step over here, please.
Well, I don't want to block.
Okay, so guys, when your wife says, I just need you to listen, here's a real important trick. Ask her this question. Sweetheart, is this a listen to listen or a listen to fix it? If she says it's a listen to listen, don't tune out. If she says listen to fix it, then sure, because guys are meant to fix stuff, right? But if we really listen with to the point of listening, we're not using this. We're using this. Listen to listen or listen to fix it. The key fact is, listen. God gave you one of these and two of these.
That's right.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh is for observe. Mm-hmm. Just see me. Just observe that I'm in the room. Observe that you made the bed. Observe the fact that you made dinner and helped do the bills and you got me through grad school. Thank you very much. Observe. That's a form of appreciation. The next letter V is very, very important, and that is for validate. You actually exist. You're valued. Validating is the perspective of you actually are here. It's about you, not just me.
I
take it from there.
No, and I don't know. Maybe you guys could. I'm just thinking about this. I immediately think that men need more validation than women, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Equal?
Equal.
I think, well, men need, yeah, I'm thinking. Yeah, from working with women and stuff, I go on the side of men need maybe not more validation, but I want to validate that you go out and slay dragons every day for our family and that you put the blinders on and, you know, stay focused and come home to me. And I want to validate that that takes courage sometimes to do, not to come home to me, right? I didn't come out right. But
let's see.
I think honestly, and I'll call the women out on this. Women, we have so much power in our relationship. We have no idea, and that sometimes we talk to our girlfriends better than we talk to our husbands. And we can't forget, ladies, that we still have a little boy inside this macho man here. And when we say things like, "Oh, that's so stupid. Why did you do that?" or "Can't you do blah blah blah?" So much of it is the tone, but like, what are we really doing to our men? We want to call our men out to be warriors for us. I want a tender warrior. I know I'm asking a lot, but you are that tender warrior. You listen to my heart and you battle for my heart and you battle for our families and you battle for our community and we're battling for marriages. Mm-hmm. And that, I want to make sure that I'm always affirming that and validating that in my husband because he needs to hear that because you're getting beat up in your ways, you know, out there. Yeah.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I think part of it comes from a male need to be respected and female need to be loved.
Yeah.
We all need to be loved and respected, but the primary for men is that respect.
Yeah.
That's where that validation
exactly, is. Yeah. Emerson Eggerich, love and respect. Yeah, I want to be respected, but I think I probably want to be loved more. You know, men need respect, women need love. Yeah, thank you. That's exactly respect, validation, whatever it is. Ladies, we can probably up our game on that is all I'm saying. Even sometimes when we may not feel like it because we can't always trust our feelings.
And the E. I'll take an E, Alex. The E is for empathy. Empathy is not sympathy. Empathy is, let me hold you. Non-judgmentally, no comment, no yeah, but. It is, I feel you. I sense you. I don't judge you. Tell me more. This goes both ways. Because without that empathy, the anger goes up. The avoidance goes up. I'll be home later. I'll go do that. I'm not connected to you if there's no empathy. Empathy is here, not so much here. Empathy is really important in the day and age we live. Love, listening, observing, and validating, and empathy.
And I think along the lines of empathy, it's almost not so much agreeing with each other, because you're not always going to agree. That's okay if you agree to disagree. But the most important thing, I think, with empathy is that you're feeling heard.
Yeah.
Like, I may not agree with the direction you're going or what you're saying, but I want to sit in that feeling with you.
Right.
And not just say, oh, that's stupid. You shouldn't feel that way. You're a man. Come on, buck up. You shouldn't do that. I mean, is that being empathetic?
But I think what your key point there is that it's not necessarily that you agree with me. You know, you could still disagree with me, but the fact that you're allowing me the space, I feel safe enough to say, here is my dream, here is my fear, here is what I'm excited about, and you don't shut me down, and vice versa. But I think typically some of the research that we had heard basically is with most people, especially guys, if we get shut down two or three times, see you later, sister.
Yeah,
I don't
done.
Need you. I'm going to go do this someplace else. And then we become roommates. That's not what we want.
Well, and affairs usually begin out of an emotional connection with somebody, not a physical. So
right. That's
definitely a breeding ground for that. So how can we protect, get behind our wall, protect with Fred and all that? How it all comes together.
It all begins to come together. So in closing, what's in your rearview mirror? Here's a little concept to think about. The perspective of we need to have a relationship that's forgiving. You know, you've heard the concept, just forgive and forget. So in we heard this recently from a couple who'd lived much longer than us. And she said, yeah, I forgive him and he just forgets. He doesn't know what I said or what I did wrong. I forgive him for screwing up and he just forgets what I did wrong. So I was like,
I like that.
So really forgive and forget. Really, just straightforward. I need your forgiveness and I'll just forget about what you did.
I like that.
So it's kind of a jovial way to say, hey, let's forgive and forget here.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's hard to do. But as you look back, just reflect on some of these things. And just as Brenda and I kind of shared our stories, you look back, we all have a past. But this is the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It's what's out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What's out ahead? Your legacy, the impact that you have, the mission of your marriage. Brenda and I will be celebrating 15 years in January 25th, 2018. And on our little program at our wedding, we actually had a mission statement. Do you have a mission statement for your marriage? Jesus has one. Think about it.
And
that's
I think
what's
with,
ahead.
With each season of life, we've talked a lot about
right.
this. We're in a totally new season, empty nesting, changing careers and all this stuff. It's like I was just telling Gil, we need to go back and look at our mission statement because we need to revise it a little bit. And what that does is it helps us dream. And I don't know about you guys, but now that we're 50, it's like we've lost the ability to dream. It's like, okay, we've got the rest of the second half of life here. What really trips our trigger? And you start brainstorming, which means there's no bad idea, no wrong idea. It's like, wow, what if we did this?
That could be irresponsible, but anyway.
Hey, who cares?
Yeah.
The kids aren't around.
Yeah, the kids aren't around. We can have cereal for dinner if we want. Yeah.
Love it. Is that a dream?
Yeah, it was.
I think we have to up our game a little bit.
So what's ahead? What's ahead as you look down that road? I hope that in as we close here that there's been something that has been that you found encouraging, just a tiny step of hope, something that you can pass along to someone else, or that aspect of learning that prayer is really more important than just, well, we won't go there. It's just there's humor in all of our things of our lives that we get to share with one another. So that's kind of my concluding statement.
Well, and we're like 3 minutes ahead of schedule.
Well, I'm going to go sit down.
What one thing are you taking away from this last hour or this weekend? If you could put it into like one or two words, what would just, yes.
Always picture the wall, everybody says, oh, you put a wall up and we can't get through it. Walls can be good. same time.
Good.
I like that.
Good. Yeah.
That a wall can be protective.
Yeah, protective. Wall can be protective.
Back there.
Praying together.
Aha, you like that, yeah. Good.
Sir. Nice.
When the scripture says that God will meet the desires of our heart, and our desires are his desires, I see that same comparison in when we win, I win. So, like it's not about me, it's about our us.
Yeah.
It's about God's will.
Yeah.
We win, I win. And that's so hard because our pride gets in the way and we get in the way. And yeah.
Ma'am.
Just watch what I say because I don't want to break his heart.
Yeah.
Watch what I say so I don't break his heart.
Courage grows strength from a wound.
Courage grows strength from a wound. Yes, ma'am.
The
importance of humility. About the two of us, not just me. Thank you. Wow. You guys are incredible. We serve an incredible God. I look at the last almost 15 years and think of the redemptive process. And each of you, as you go back to your communities and live your life in your hometowns, you know, it is that matter of we're battling for hearts. And when you're battling for hearts, let alone your children or those coworkers or whatever, it just brings a new vibrancy to wanting this to work. Because we haven't got time to waste. We're getting
old.
We're getting younger.
That's why we don't sugarcoat much. We kind of hit things hard. It's like, yeah, we don't have time to mess around.
Okay.
We need to, yeah.
So if you ain't got the marriage,
and
Brenda,
oh, my battery's gone.
The final word? No,
oh.
No, too far. Oh, we're missing one?
Oh, it's not a slide, but we say always forward.
Always forward.
Because we can get caught up in the past, and yeah, sometimes the past needs to be looked at, but
always forward.
Always forward. What's ahead?
Always
we learn from that. Today's a new day. What can we do?
There you go.
So
there you are.
Thank you.